Western Kansas News with you this afternoon. Colby Van Camp here with Wyatt Thompson and Joe Blake. Wyatt Thompson, of course, the voice of the Wildcats. My friend, it's been a second since we've been able to sit down and chat with each other, and I'm excited to see you here at Big 12 Media Days. How's it been going for you so far?
It's been going good for me, but before we jump into that, I just want to say congratulations on the new gig. Going well for you. It's nice to meet you, young man. Welcome to the broadcast business.
Thank you.
So good to be here, and you know what? I say this every year. You guys would appreciate this, I think, but when you get to Big 12 Media Days, it kind of sinks in for you that, oh my goodness, you know? At the end of this month, K-State's going to be practicing football.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And it's your 23rd season. As the voice of the Wildcats, what's your impressions for the team's outlook in 2024?
Well, let me say, first of all, how honored I am to hear you say that from the perspective of how fortunate I've been. And I've always been that in a 48-year broadcast career. That's just the reality. I love my work. I love Kansas State. So it's a joy to show up to work every day. But I'm excited about, you know, where they're at right now. But maybe even more than that, what they could be on August 31st, what they could be at the end of November. I think this is a very unique and interesting team on a lot of levels. I'll give you maybe a couple, two or three examples here. I think first and foremost, most people that you probably have talked to today or will talk to today and tomorrow, when they talk about K-State, you're probably going to either start with Chris Klieman or Avery Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. I agree with that. But today, just to be different, I'm going to say what I really like is what K-State can potentially be on the defensive side. They've got a lot of people back. They've got a lot of good football players. Not that there isn't a hole or two to fill, but that's always the case. I think they're exceptionally well coached on both sides of the ball. I'm pumped up for Avery and the offense. But there are a couple of questions there. Can they replace an All-American left guard? Can they replace three guys who were, you know, sixth-year seniors on that offensive line? Who takes over for Ben Sennett? More than likely, it's Garrett Oakley and company. I think it'll be more than just the one guy. He's hard to replace, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
And then you look at the strengths of a guy around Avery like DJ Giddens, who you heard Coach say a little while ago, maybe one of the most underrated players in the entire league. And then the Dylan Edwards factor. So there's a lot of things to be excited about. And I didn't even mention, among all of that, Coach says all the time, we have so many good quality young guys in the program that maybe not everybody knows about right now. You get to mid to late November, our fans are going to know who they are.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Yeah.
100%.
I felt that way about Jace Brown.
Sure.
Not this time, but of November of last year.
Sure.
You were sitting back like, who is this guy and where did he come from?
Yeah.
And we'll take 12 of him, you know?
Yeah.
That was kind of the vibe, I think, that Kansas State fans had. And I love that. It speaks to Kansas State as a program that it's not flashy. It's not, we're out here to make a big stir with the media. We're here to take care of business. We're going to talk about ourselves in the most humble and respectful of ways, and then we're going to go let everything on the field speak for itself.
That's so perfectly said, and I'll augment it by saying this. If you listen to the end of Coach Klieman there, the last question of him was, from one of the new teams in the league, how do you describe your program? And the first word out of his mouth, consistency. And I thought that resonated with me so much because he's the same guy every day. Win, lose, draw, whatever. He's going to show up. He's confident in himself. He's confident in his staff. He's confident in his players. All the surroundings that they have at K-State, including a terrific athletic director in Gene Taylor, go to work from there, right? We mentioned and talked the last couple of minutes about what K-State is, maybe a question mark or two, but it all starts with the consistency and the expectations and player development and all those kind of things, and they've done a really nice job with all of that.
When you're sitting here at Big 12 Media Days, and last year you're thinking, oh, man, you got BYU in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. in Houston, and I always forget the last one. UCF, thank you. I'm sorry. I always get three.
That was a pretty good ad, too, by the way.
I always get three. I always miss the last one. Now it's like 16 teams. You have to worry about Utah and Arizona State and Arizona and Colorado. I got those four.
There you go.
I got those extra ones. What does the landscape of the Big 12 look like, and how does Kansas State match up with it?
Well, it's a great question, honestly, because I think what you see, and I heard one of the coaches say this earlier today, when those other teams came into the league, they were basically group of five teams. Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, as you mentioned, BYU, those. But now you're talking about these teams that come from the Power Five, basically the what was a big part of the Pac-12. You look at the history of college football and you think about, or at least I do, with Arizona State, you think of a guy like Frank Cush, who back in the 70s and 80s was one of the really great coaches in all of college football. Arizona's had, you know, some pretty good runs too. Colorado, national champions in 1990, right? I mean, and so there are a lot of things that are brought to the table here. And even Commissioner Yormark said, last year was a strong league. We probably underachieved a little bit in the postseason, but it was a strong year during the regular campaign. Going to even be a better and deeper league now because of those four, I think. And I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I think that's accurate too. Yeah. You mentioned, and it's interesting because you're one of the few people in the so-called media that gets to go to practice, and you get to go and you get to see the things, you get to talk to the guys.
Sure.
And I was conversing with a couple of different folks around here and chuckling about how often the general media people think, well, just go to practice. It's like, well, no, that's not how that works. Yeah. Is there anybody that we should be keeping an eye on in the 2024 campaign that's a little bit of a diamond in the rough that we haven't heard about yet?
I think there are several, and that's another really good quality question, I think. I think if Chris Kleiman were sitting here instead of me, he would probably mention several names that maybe you don't know a lot about that will be impactful. Alec Marinko is an example, transfer linebacker from New Mexico. Easton Kilty, a transfer, probably will be K-State starting left tackle. A couple of other guys on the defensive side. Jordan Riley, I think, has a chance to be a really, really fine player for K-State. And then you go down a little bit and think about some of the younger guys that, again, not necessarily household names yet, but I can assure you, because I do get some privilege that others don't necessarily, that they're excited about. Let's just take defensive end as an example. Chidi Obiezor, I think 270-pound guy already who has a chance to be special talent. Ryan Davis, Jordan Allen, Donovan Ryman. I mean, I've named four guys right there, and none of those guys, if we played tonight, would start at defensive end, I don't think. I think what they would probably do would stay with the guys like a Brendan Maude, who's here today, and Cody Stufflebean, because of their experience level and what they bring to the table. But and there are many others, right? I mean, you could mention a Sterling Lockett. You could mention Trace Spivey, a receiver. I mean, Will Ancio from Wichita, a tight end. You could almost pick at least one guy at most every position, and that's exciting.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing that I tell people every day in covering K-State is over the course of time, and I go back to that consistency with Kleiman and the staff in what they have done in building a base here in recruiting. Each class has been a little bit better, maybe a little more length and height in athletes, maybe a little bit more, you know, quality bodies, maybe a little bit more speed in some cases. You know, even the young people have committed for 25. I mean, people know. I can't say the names right now, but you know who they are,
yep.
Right? And that's exciting. Now, are there other teams in the league that are doing like that? Sure, no question. But it's exciting for me that K-State's a part of that.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that you bring up the recruiting side of things, because we were talking on my talk show earlier this week about what is it about Kansas that it's just a special place for football, especially, and we're from Southwestern Kansas now.
Sure, yeah.
Southwestern Kansas has some dudes and some real diamonds in the rough that are playing 1, 2, 3A football, sometimes even 8-man football.
Mm-hmm.
You got the NJCAA, you got the Jayhawk Conference in Kansas, and some of these guys, Usose Amalo, moves up from Garden City Community College up to K-State. What is it about Kansas and the way that some of these guys are just developing into freaks?
Well, to be honest with you, I think there's a lot of answers to that question, but one that really sticks out is if you look at the quality of higher-level players coming out of the state in the last, I'll say, 2 to 5 year stretch, whether it's Northeast Kansas, Southwest Kansas, whatever it might be, what do you consider Hayes? Central Kansas?
Sure.
North Central Kansas?
I don't have an opinion on that one.
but you get the idea. I mean, look at a guy like Jared Kanick. Now, he didn't go to KU or K-State, right? But that's a high level recruit who can really, really play.
Yeah.
You know, and there are more of those guys. I think the high school coaching in Kansas is better across the board. That's not necessarily my opinion. That's just what I hear from all of these coaches that you deal with. And you think about K-State last year as an example. And KU, let's just tackle it like that. Think about the Plainville connection from last year in the KU K-State game. How cool was that?
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. You know, my son lives in Lakin, which is just west of Garden.
Yeah.
You drive into that little town, and the first thing you see is a sign that says, "Welcome to Lakin, the boyhood home of Gary Spaney."
Yep.
Yeah.
This just in, Gary Spaney's an NFL Hall of Famer. Yeah. That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, good deal.
That is a good gig.
Yeah.
I've kind of been going right now because I'm excited to sit down and talk with Wyatt, but I want to give Joe an opportunity. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
Well, I want to say, you know, do you think that all those years of success with those in-state recruits, and you mentioned that now they've started to get better and the state of Kansas is starting to become more recognized, do you think that reputation that they gained in all those years before has helped them, you know, get some of these guys that are really starting to come out? I mean, Avery Johnson.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's a perfect example because he was a high level recruit. But there have been several others. I think the best way to answer your question, Joe, and it's a really good one, is think about all of the other, quote, name programs that have come into this state to recruit in the last 2 to 5 years,
right,
the stretch that we just talked about. Whether it's Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Arkansas, Missouri, you know, don't we keep going? I mean, it kind of gives you a sense that, and I think we're all proud of this, is that the state is in good hands with the coaches and the young talent that has come along. Yeah, it can be a scenario that runs in cycles a little bit, but this has been a pretty good cycle, really.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, you think about just back to the Cats for a second. I mean, Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Those guys, I don't know a K-Stater alive that isn't excited about the potential of what they could bring to the field in 2024.
I tell you what, in the 1940s, Army had their two Heisman winning running backs,
yeah,
Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside, and I want to bring that back for Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards. I want Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside, or maybe Avery Johnson and DJ Giddens, or maybe DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards. Somewhere, you have my permission, use it.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that, and maybe that'll play out that way. What I would say is think about the possibilities with again, Avery's just 8 games into his career, right? And yet everybody, the expectations are off the charts. But I know the coaches are so excited about, you know, what Dylan can bring from the speed factor. But it isn't just the speed factor. It's his ability to impact a game in special teams. It's his ability to catch the ball, the game-breaking speed, all of those things. And then you throw our boy DJ Giddens in there. Go back to how underrated I think most of us believe he is. This is a guy that's a 1,500-yard rusher that caught like 26 or 7 passes last year. Good in blitz pickup and all of those kind of things. Just a real talented guy. Quiet as and unassuming as you'd ever see,
yeah,
right? But just a high level football player.
Yeah.
Well coached, yes, but a real good talent.
There's an old song that Bing Crosby sings with Louis Armstrong called "Gone Fishing." And I think every time of DJ Giddens, every time I hear that song.
He loves that, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Yes.
He sure does. I'm gonna ask you two final questions.
Okay.
And the first of them is, K-State only has 6 home games this season. It's a little bit thin.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect Kansas State? Because most of them are kind of in the middle towards the end of the season. It's this very front-heavy schedule with a bunch of games on the road, a lot of tough matchups, and then you get to come back and kind of relish in whatever glory you may or may not gather from that beginning part of the season. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm disappointed always that there isn't a 7th home game. I think that is part of what makes, and I guess I'll say that makes K-State what it is now. And that's one thing that Bill Snyder, I think, brought to Kansas State football that it's important that we play home games. Okay. There were times, of course, in his younger days, earlier days, maybe I should say earlier days, that he was criticized for the scheduling. And yet look what he built. Okay. Took over a program in 89 that had been to one bowl game, and from 93 on went to 11 straight. So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. So would I prefer the seventh home game? Absolutely. But because of a couple of different things where you couldn't really move the Tulane game, the Arizona game, we didn't know when that was scheduled that it was going to be a team that was going to be added to the league. And now it's a game we're playing at home, but it's a non-conference game, which that's a little bit of an oddity, right?
Yeah.
So this year will be a little bit unique and different. But I think as we go, more times than not, you'll see them do everything they can to try to have a seventh home game, because it's special.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, Kansas, on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. We all understand that.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah. And I want to ask you this follow-up, because you jogged my memory. Well, how does that Arizona game as a non-conference game fit for Kansas State in the long run? Because Arizona was one of only five teams to get first place votes here in the preseason media poll.
Right.
They seem to be a team that's on the rise. Maybe some say dark horse contenders for the Big 12.
Yeah.
How does that work for Kansas State in their favor, that they don't count that, if it's a loss, as a conference loss?
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer, if I'm going to be perfectly blunt and honest about it, because I don't know that we really know yet. Here's what I will say I do know. I watched their bowl game back twice. That bowl game they beat, do you remember who they beat?
Oklahoma.
Exactly. Hard to beat Oklahoma.
Yep. They were 10-2 at the time as well.
Yes. And they did it with a terrific redshirt freshman quarterback, Fifita. Our fans are going to appreciate him as a really, really fine talent. They have a pro receiver. They have some change. I think people think they're going to be really, really good. And then there are others that think they may drop just a little bit from last year, because when there was the coaching change, they had a few losses. But it's a good quality team. How does that affect K-State? Well, it may or may not if they win the game, right? It's just an oddity of all oddities, just based on the growth of the league with the add-on.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense, but it is hard to really know now. Ask me later when we get into the year a little bit, because I'm going to be honest with you. Going to Tulane,
that's a tough
in
game.
Early September.
It's a tough game.
You know what the humidity will be in New Orleans in early September?
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. That's a fact. So there are hard things. K-State's got a pretty good schedule. But at the back end, or towards the back end, road trips to what? Morgantown? Hard.
Yeah.
Ames, Iowa? Hard.
Very hard.
How will it be going to Colorado? Do we know how hard that will be yet? We probably don't. So you see what I mean on the give and take? It's hard to answer your question because you don't really know yet. But one thing that I will say is a given, I think that game will make K-State better. It challenges them more in terms of, I mean, if you're hoping for an 11-1 year or whatever, there's more challenge in that.
Okay.
That long, long, long answer. More than you probably wanted to
know. No. It's great. And as much time as I can talk to you, that's news to me. And I think it's a well-informed answer, and dare I say the safe answer, but I think it's the right answer.
Yeah, it's a safe answer. For sure it is. And there's always risk. When you're playing a Power 5 team that had, you know, a 10-win season, as an example, there's risk involved, right? And so that first comes to mind. But again, how many times have you heard coaches say, every year is different, you know? And I think with K-State, I'll make the point this way, I guess, to finish the thought here. Going into last year, when we sat in Dallas at Big 12 Media Days, how comfortable were you with Will Howard playing some 30-plus games at Kansas State? Pretty comfortable, right?
Yeah.
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 So everybody loves Avery Johnson, but he's played in 8 games. He's going to have growing pains.
Yeah.
I tell people every day of my life, you're going to watch him on one play, you're going to go, ugh. And then on a couple of plays after that, you're going to go, wow, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're going to see.
I hope we have more. Wow, are you kidding me? Than anything else.
I think it's a given you'll have more of that. But let's be patient. We were patient with Will, and it paid off with a Big 12 title in 2022.
Yeah.
Probably going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State as a sixth-year guy. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, again.
Yeah.
There you go.
My final question for you, as someone who's seen the program evolve over two decades, how would you characterize the current state and direction of K-State football?
Good question. And again, I go back to what Chris Klieman is. Be a little bit repetitive here, but think about what K-State football is right now, okay? You have a really, really quality, solid coach in place who's comfortable with where he's at, working for one of his best friends who he trusts like a brother. How do you beat that part? Okay. He hires good coaches. They are really good at player development. They have become more astute and better at recruiting. Okay. All of those things matter. One real, real quick story. I promise it'll be quick. K-State has an analyst hired who spent 16, again, an analyst, not a full-time coach. His name is Nate Katzer. He's from Scott City. Past 16 years, what do you do? NFL coach. For special teams. Mm-hmm. Do you not think he won't have some impact on this team? What a great hire.
Yeah.
Matt Wells, he's been a head coach at Utah State. He's been a head coach at Texas Tech. You don't think a guy that's coached Jordan Love of the Packers is going to do a good job with Avery Johnson? So there are a lot of really good things in place right now with K-State, and I'm excited about that. I'm not going to try to mask that in any way, shape, or form. I'm pumped up about it. Now, will there be a bump or two in the road? Of course. They're always, you know, late in that game with TCU in Dallas. Oh, I bet your stomach was turning a little bit at that point, right?
That's why I had to start taking beta blockers. Are you kidding me? That's
100%.
That's why I have that arrhythmia.
Goodness. Yep.
Well, I've been tossing bones, little fun questions, and I have to ask because we asked Brendan Mott, Crocs or socks? Crocs and socks, yes or no? And he had a great answer to that, by the way.
I
have to ask you, dipping fries in milkshakes, is it genius or gross?
Ooh, that's a harder question. I thought you were going to give me just the socks and Crocs. Well, first of all, I do not own a pair of Crocs.
I don't either.
I just don't. It's not me.
My wife would set them on fire. So,
so I guess I'm not opposed to dipping the fries in my dad loved strawberry shakes.
Okay.
I could do that. Okay. Is it my preference? If I'm being honest, probably not. I want those fries and they're gone, and then I can really get after that strawberry shake.
There we go.
Is that the right answer?
That's great. Yeah. I would never dip it, but I tell you what, my concession is I sometimes put French fries on chocolate chip cookies.
I had never heard anybody do that
before. Try it sometime. Sweet and salty. It'll blow your mind. That was a Kip Van Campism. It was my dad who turned me on to that one. Wyatt, your time is invaluable. I always love looking in your crystal ball. It's fantastic. You're always dialing up just fantastic things that I carry on for the season so I can tell people about, well, Wyatt Thompson told me this.
So you're kind. I appreciate that.
I appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Good to talk to both of you. And again, best of luck to both of you, too.
Appreciate it.
I'm excited for you. Thank you, sir.
You bet.